The National Angling Show was in Swords, County Dublin last weekend, with tens of thousands of visitors and some huge displays. I thought I'd take a look at some of the boats for sale there to see how much it might cost you if you wanted to get on the water this summer. The biggest display at the show was from Mayo's McHale Marine, and owner Jerry McHale told me about his company.
Well, my company started 35 years ago, and we started in caravans and mobile homes and that kind of thing. But we moved into the marine side of things 12 years ago, and it's gone very, very well since, with numerous agencies for different projects.
McHale Marine, where are you based?
We're based in Castlebar and County Mayo.
Now, you have a whole range of boats here for sale today. What are we looking at?
Well, you're looking at all types of fishing boats, especially because this is a fishing display. And it's going very, very well for us. And we also have a number of canoes here as well. Plus the fact that we do all the garments for all the fishing operations that you will be involved in.
Let's just talk about these kayaks. They look very specialised to me. They're not your Liffey Descent type of kayak.
No, they're not. They're specially made for the angler, and they have a tremendous amount of buoyancy. They also have a lot of gadgets on them that you can use for different purposes. Plus the fact that you can stand up in those as well and fly fish. And the seat actually sits up as well. It raises up as well.
Let's have a look at this one here. What gadgets are on this side? It's a kayak, but it's an open boat.
Yes, it's an open boat, yeah. That's what most anglers prefer, just in case of any emergencies or anything. It's a lower 10-foot long, and it has loads of space, and the seat actually adjusts up like that, and you can sit in it nice and comfortable while you're fishing.
You've got a whole lot of different compartments.
It has a lot of storage in it as well.
How much is this going to set me back, this one?
This just is over 1,000 euros.
So I'm on the water for that?
You're on the water for that, and you're independent of everybody else. And you can also go to areas where a boat cannot get into.
You put it on top of your car?
Put it on top of your car, and away, and as soon as you reach the thing, you can paddle out to wherever you want to go.
Now, you have bigger boats as well. These, what I would call plastic boats.
That's right, yeah.
Wally boats.
Yeah, they're specially made in the Netherlands, and we have the agency for the 26 counties for those. And they come in all different sizes. And they go up to 5 metres in length, from that down to a very, very small one, which would be a punt for going out to a small boat.
Or to your yacht on a mooring or whatever. What's the advantage of having it made of plastic?
It has an awful lot of advantages. It will never fade. It's UV protected. There's no maintenance whatsoever on it. And it goes very well in the water as well. It's made on the same system as the ribs.
Yeah, they look like ribs.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
How much will these ones set me back?
This one would set you back 1,623.
Yeah, and then the very big one?
The very big one is totally done out with trailer and all the accessories that you would ever need on it for 14,500.
So, and that is essentially a rib, a plastic rib.
It is indeed, yeah.
Now, you also have traditional canoes, the type of Native American canoe.
Yes, Canadian canoes, yes, yeah. They're all based on the Canadian canoe. But some of them are made in China now as well, you know, so they're no longer taken from a tree and carved out. Yeah.
What would I use one of those for?
Well, you can bring... Those are ideal for family occasions and that kind of thing, and going down rivers and stuff like that, but not for the rapids.
It's a canoe, it's an open boat.
It's an open boat, yeah, and it can turn over very easily. But when you have plenty of water, there's absolutely no problem.
You have an enormous stand here.
Thanks very much now for that. It's going very, very well for me. We've had quite a few sales here this morning, and hopefully it's going to continue until Sunday evening for us.
Jerry, some of the kayaks you have here will take an engine, a small electric engine.
They will indeed, yes. On the bigger fishing kayaks, you can get an engine of different horsepowers or thrust to suit wherever you're going.
So you charge it up before you go. If you get tired on the way back in, stick it on and you're home.
Yes, exactly. That's right.
If you are going afloat, you'll need personal safety equipment, including possibly a personal alarm. I went to the experts, CH Marine, to look at what was available.
I'm Nick Bendon of CH Marine. I'm Managing Director of CH Marine. And in our group, we've got about five stores in Ireland. And we also have people like Bantry Bay Canoes under our wing as well.
We have here, you have a huge range of safety equipment. Can we talk about this personal safety equipment? So that's this one here, holding it in my hand.
What you've got in your hand there is a PLB. It's a McMurdo Fast Find PLB. So that's a personal locator beacon.
What I might call an EPIRB.
Yeah, that's an EPIRB, but there's a difference. An EPIRB is for a boat, okay? So an EPIRB belongs to the boat, and it's coded with the boat's call sign, normally an MSI number. The PLB is actually registered to a person. So if you go from boat to boat, or if you go overseas, it goes with you. So once registered, normally they're registered in your country of residence. Once registered, it'll work worldwide. But the purpose of registering is that when the alarm goes off, the authorities know who to contact. So they'll check and see, you know, is it a false alarm? And then immediately then you will have a mayday put into place.
So these ones now are very small. Would you clip that onto yourself? Would you put it in your pocket? It's about the size of about three or four AA batteries.
Yes. They've now got them so small they can actually fit inside your automatic inflation life jacket. So it's stowed normally tied onto your inflation tube. When the life jacket activates, it's there to hand by you. You do have to manually deploy them, but they're instant. These latest ones are actually MESART ready. So the older satellite system sometimes could take a quarter an hour to activate. If you're in the Pacific, it could be 2 or 3 hours or something like that. Now there's a new thing called MESAR, which is medium orbit satellites. And that's virtually instant. So the minute it goes off, 30 seconds later, at the nearest receiving center, will receive your mayday. They've both got GPS, so you get who it is and the location. And so, for single sailors or people on their own, people going overboard, it's an ideal unit to have.
Now, and this one we have here in our hands, we're looking at it. There's a little red thing, and you flip it open, and it says, use only in situations of grave and imminent danger.
Yes.
That's pretty stark warning.
It is, but a mayday is a mayday. If you need help with a mayday, you activate it, right? This actually also works on land. So if you're a hiking kayak tool or something like that, exactly the same thing. Operate it, and you get the satellite signal will send to the rescue authorities to the receiving station, and you get the mayday. The purpose of registering, imagine an accidental deployment, right? Which is quite difficult. You've actually got to do two actions to do that. But on a accidental, they'll ring you, they'll phone, and that's the purpose of registration. So the first thing, phone the person who it belongs to. Are you okay? That doesn't work. Phone next of kin. The other person you register, that doesn't work. Immediately deploy rescue services.
How much would something like this set me back?
About €249.
And what's the battery situation there? They look like they're completely sealed.
They're sealed, yeah, but they come with a 7 to 10 year battery. I think normally on average about 7 year battery life, and operation at about 24 hours. So activated, they work for 24 hours, but the battery is intact for 7 years. We can put new batteries in, service and put new batteries in.
You have a whole lot of other safety equipment here as well, life rafts.
There's another one here, if I can tell you. So what we've discussed is a satellite beacon. It's sending a remote signal to a satellite and down to a receiving shore station. The other one is an AIS beacon, and that works on VHF. So this one, same thing again, you put in your life jacket. This works very well when the most likely source of rescue is a boat in your vicinity. The other one is sending it to a satellite, so it's activating authorities. This one is AIS. It'll flash, if it activates, it flashes a signal on your chart plotter. anybody with AIS. So it'll immediately, you go overboard, it activates, and it, on your own boat, it'll come as a man overboard alarm. And other boats in the vicinity will see it as well.
So I'm doing the Round Island race at night time. I fall overboard. They're going to find me immediately with this.
They're going to find you. When your own boat is the most likely form of rescue. So you go overboard, they see that, and they see your position, turn around, and they should be able to get straight back to you.
Now, you've a whole different range of life jackets. What's the difference between different ones, and what should I choose?
Okay, there's essentially a difference. There's a buoyancy aid or a life jacket. A life jacket, its job is to actually float you in an unconscious situation. So your head down, a life jacket will turn you right way up. So invariably a life jacket has a collar. A buoyancy aid is what it says. It's normally, you shouldn't really be a swimmer with a buoyancy aid. They're 50 newtons, so not as buoyant, and they don't have the collars. So very handy. Apart from the if you're more offshore or something like that.
If you're a dinghy sailor or something, it's much more comfortable to wear.
Yeah, a dinghy, you need a buoyancy aid for dinghy sailing. And they're designed so you'll be agile in them.
And then you have self-inflatable ones. What's the advantage and disadvantage of one of those?
Look, gas inflation is industry standard now. There's many different designs, many different sizes. And they are just convenient. You don't feel you've got a life jacket on, and they just work very well. Very important to know about gas inflation, they do need checking. So there's self-checks and there's annual service. And it is very important to actually understand that. Once they are checked regularly and serviced regularly, they're a very, very good source of a life jacket.
The thing that's most likely to go in them is the little salt tablet, which dissolves and sets the thing off. You need to check that regularly.
Check it regularly, yeah. The common things that happen, the bottle comes loose. So you can imagine if the bottle's loose a little bit, you're going to lose some of the air out. People deflate them incorrectly. You're only meant to use the reverse end of the cap to deflate them. You know, poking biros into that valve could damage it, and air can escape like that. They're not to be feared. They've just got to be understood how they work. And when they work, they're very, very handy.
Nick Bendon of CH Marine. Then, to indulge all of our boating fantasies, I went and had a look at the display by BJ Marine.
James Kerwin's my name. I'm the sales manager with BJ Marine. We're based out of Greystones and Bangor, and we're here at the show representing the Beneteau brand. We are agents for Beneteau in the UK and Ireland.
Greystones, one of the newest marinas in the country.
Yeah, we're coming up to our sixth birthday all of a sudden on the 1st of April, so time flies. It's been quite a journey. We're up to 150 berths there now, with plans to expand out to 240 in the next couple of years. So a real growth area, and that's representative of why we're here at the show as well.
So you're obviously filling up the 150 spots if you're going to expand?
Yeah, we're borderline 90% occupied at the moment. We've huge visitor traffic from the UK and further afield as well. Obviously, we're keeping an eye on developments at the moment to see that we can keep that industry going. But we've had a lot of new blood into boating in the last 4 to 5 years, which is to be encouraged. And that's reflective in the importance of getting 6 to 8 metre berths onto the marina. So that's a big growth area for us.
You're here, you've got a couple of boats for sale. Motor launches, motor boats, I'd call them.
Yeah, they're our Beneteau Barracuda range, so they're sports fishing, but actually due to the shape of the hull and the enclosure, the wheelhouse that they have, they're ideal for Irish families as well, because with the best will in the world, we go out on a lovely sunny day, 2 hours later, everything's changed, and you need to be able to close the doors and get in. So sports fishing primarily, but used by Irish families for cruising as well.
So you could anchor off the beach in one of these, no problem.
Yeah, we've these boats all over Dublin, down in Finnet, West Cork, Donegal. Nuzzling into a little anchorage, no problem at all. Or if it's just getting out for sandwiches and beakers for the kids, we can do that too.
Would you spend the night on something like this?
On the 8 metre, you can do. So the Barracuda range goes from 6 to 9 metres. We have our baby, which is the 6 and the 8 here. So the 6 and the 7 you wouldn't really overnight on, but the 8 that we have here has a double cabin forward, and the 9 metre, which is actually arriving in Ireland, we've 2 of them sold arriving in the week after next, actually has a 2 cabin configuration. So overnighting, absolutely no problem. We have our own our Diet Coke in the fridge on board the 8 that we have here on the stand as well.
this one here that we're looking at, it has a 300 horsepower engine. What size do the engines go to?
The six can have an engine as small as a 90 horsepower Suzuki. We feel that's a little bit under spec for our water, so we go with the 115. And then the eight that everyone's having a look at this big 300 that we have on the back of the eight. It is the biggest engine option for an 8-metre. We can go twin 150s as well, but we feel the single engine, obviously it's cheaper to go with one than two, and that gives ample performance. A lot of our customers have a 250 on the back of that as well. Suzuki do go up to a 350 horsepower now, which we can put on the 9, but we don't have that here at the show this week.
How much will something like these set me back?
The numbers are really, really simple with our show deals here. So the 6-metre on the water, fully VAT paid with the spec you see it, is €40,000 as a show deal. And the 8-metre we have is €80,000. So that's, again, fully on the water, ready to rock, no hidden charges or anything like that. That's you in the water here next week.
Now, that would strike me as being very competitive with, say, if I was going to buy a rib, I might spend €25,000 on a rib.
Yeah, I mean, what we found is a lot of people get into their boating on ribs, and anything that gets people on the water, we're happy to embrace and throw our weight behind. With the rib, you kind of have a limited shelf life, really, and what people look to do is then grow into their boat, so something that will give them more versatility and will stand up to a bit more weather. So that's when the likes of the Wheelhouse come into their own. We were at this show last year, which was our first year coming to the show, and we only brought one boat. We bought a six to the show. We had a good show here last year, so we said, right, let's get our hands on a stock Barracuda 8, double our stand. We've three of the team here, and it's a growth industry for us, so that's why we're here.
Is the Celtic Tiger back?
It's a very delicate bit of kit, our economy, as will be covered on other shows on your station. What all we can do is say that, yes, we are experiencing growth. It's very delicate. There is no standard profile for any of our clients, but people are looking to get on the water again, and we're an island nation, as you promote. So we just need to make that as easy as possible, and our business can grow with it too.
In a significant development for this sector, new regulations announced by the Department of Marine recently will now legally allow game fishing for bluefin tuna in Irish waters for the very first time. The changes are due to come into effect before the summer, and 15 angling boats will be licensed to tag and release these huge fish which come inshore from August on. Charter boat owner Adrian Malloy from Donegal has been campaigning on this issue for years. When I met him at the show last weekend, he was delighted with the change.
It seems their intent is to create a legal catch and release recreational fishery after 20 years.
Yeah, you've been campaigning for the government to get some kind of a quota or even a tagging system from Europe to allow you to catch tuna off Donegal.
Yes, that's correct. And this year they've agreed to do it.
How is it going to work?
I'm not sure yet. They're talking about licensing 15 boats to do scientific tagging of bluefin. The regulations pertaining to that, they haven't released yet, so I'm not sure exactly how it's going to work, but it's in the pipeline.
What kind of difference will this make to your business?
It will make it legal to advertise catch and release fishing for bluefin tuna in Ireland, which is a massive resource in Ireland. It really is. It could make a huge difference to the whole west coast of Ireland.
Because bluefin tuna, we have pictures of them here, they are huge fish.
Massive fish. The average last season would have been around 170 kilos, 400 pounds in weight. It's the peak.
They're bigger than me.
Much bigger than both of us combined, some of them. And it's one of the most lucrative big game fishing resources in the world here in Ireland.
Because these fish, they migrate from north of Donegal down right down the west coast at a particular time of the year.
That's correct. They stay in Donegal feeding typically till mid-November into December, and then they migrate southwest again towards mid-Atlantic or out towards the Mediterranean to spawn in the springtime.
And the big issue is that Ireland, we don't have any quota for bluefin tuna, but other countries are allowed to catch them in our waters.
Exactly. Now, the EU has a quota this year around 26,000 tonnes. Ireland has zero of that. We don't have any quota at all.
Yeah, this issue has been going on for years and people would hardly believe the way it's been handled.
It's not an uncommon thing in fisheries in Ireland in that we no longer own our waters when it comes to fishery resource. The EU dictates who can land what species and how much of it. And in a lot of cases, not just tuna, we have very, very small quotas relative to other countries in the EU.
When will your season start? Where are you fishing out of?
I'm fishing out of Teeland, about 7 miles west of Killybegs.
When will you be on your first tuna fishing trips?
The first tuna trip is booked for the 1st of August, but I do fish other species from May onwards.
Your website, tuna.ie?
That's it, that's correct.
Brian McGilloway, tell me about Northwest Charter Skippers.
Well, they're a group that we formed, I don't know how long ago, 10, 12 years maybe. And all the boats in the Northwest are mixed up in it. And we just thought that there were more, the more numbers, the more people you have, the better chance you have a fight in your corner, you know. So that's about the height of it.
You've been fighting your corner for many years about tuna fishing. There's some light at the end of the tunnel.
That's right. We're going to get a catch and release. And hopefully they'll get it sorted out before the season kicks off.
Because what's been happening in the past is that tuna, there are lots of them around the Irish coast, and you go fishing for them. It can be quite a big business, but you were not allowed to catch them officially.
That's correct. That's correct. We only could look at them. We couldn't go near them.
What difference do you think this is going to make to your business?
It's going to make a hell of a lot of difference to our business. A day's tuna fishing, you're talking about having from 800 to £1,000 per day. You know, general fishing, we're getting 500 per day. Hopefully we'll get that sort of business during the week. And it's going to prolong our season up to into Christmas, you know.
At tuna fishing, it's quite a big outlay for you because you have to use very specialised equipment.
It's a big outlay. I bought that stuff there actually in 2000, that gear in 2000. I spent £7,000 on it at that particular time.
So that's
time.
Two rods and two reels?
Well, four rods actually. Four rods and all the lures and all that, you know. But a big outlay at the time, you know.
What strength is the line you're using there?
There's £200. And the line on the lures is the same, 200. So.
Now, I spoke to you about this before, and you explained to me the rig you use, the bait you use, they're like very big plastic squids.
That's right, that's right. A daisy chain, they tow them along on the top of the water, and there's only a hook in one of the squid called the stinger. It's actually to create a ruffling effect on top of the water as if it's bait fishing. The stinger is running behind those lures, and that's what he strikes on. Sometimes he hits the weather no hook, and that's no good.
What speed would you be going when you're towing these things?
Just talk around about 4 knots. Yeah.
Okay. So
just dodging along. Yeah, relatively slow. Yeah. Slow.
Are the tuna very predictable in where they go at particular times of the year?
They're fairly predictable, all right. We find them fairly predictable in Donegal Bay anyhow, you know. Now, last year it was unbelievable the amount of fish that had been there. It's just, I never in my lifetime saw anything like it, you know. Seemed to be getting more every year for some reason or another, you know.
And these are big animals, these fish?
Big animals. These are big fish up to 700 and 800 pounds. You know, huge fish. I don't think I ever saw one 100, 300 pounds, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, there's such thing as adrenaline in your body, boy, that's for it. That'll take it out. It's lovely. Great.
That's great. I hope you have a great season. And
hopefully if we can get the bookings now, you know.
But you'd be able to advertise the tag and release.
At least you can do that, Dan. At least we can advertise now. Before that, we couldn't even put that gear into the boat. You know, you weren't allowed, but up outriggers are really nothing. But now we can do that. We'll go another wee bit at a time, wee bit at a time.
And if tuna fishing is a bit too ambitious for you, there are many other options around Ireland. As this young man, John Chu, who was receiving an award last weekend, told me.
My name's John Chu and I'm 13.
you're in the Irish Specimen Fish 2018 annual. For what? What did you catch?
I caught two specimens this year. They were both smoothhounds, which are a type of shark. And they're not massive shark, but they're not small either. They go up to about 25 pounds, some of them. That's the record anyway.
Where did you catch them?
Off Wicklow, Wicklow Boat Charters. That's the best place to go for them. It's quite nearby as well, which is handy.
That's a man called Kit Dunn?
Yeah, Kit Dunn. He's the skipper on the charter boat.
How do you catch a smoothhound? What do you use?
You drop a bait over the side and you just wait, I suppose, and you can catch anything when you're out there. There's loads of fish over there.
And does he anchor or does he drift?
He anchors the boat down.
And what kind of bait are you using?
Peter crab. So you tie the crab around the hook and you drop it down.
Are you very interested in angling?
Yeah, it's very fun. It's really relaxing and it's something different to do other than like doing, I don't know, other stuff. There's other stuff you can be doing and it's kind of nice. People don't realise how nice it is to just do it, to just fish sometimes.
Yeah, I find that myself, that it's the most relaxing thing you could do.
Yeah, and it's real satisfying when you, like, kind of go out and you don't expect to catch anything big and then you catch something, like, huge or something like that.
What else have you caught in your career? You're just 13.
I've caught pike, trout, most coarse fish, like tench, carp, everything. I've caught smoothhounds. I'm going for tope this year. I've caught everything, really.
What's, if somebody is starting out fishing, what's the easiest fish to catch that's not a mackerel?
Probably coarse fish. You just go down to a lake and you use sweet corn or anything. It's the easiest by a mile. Not for the big ones, but you have to use special stuff for the big ones, but for the normal size ones, like, they're grand. They're so easy.
You're getting a prize today for catching this particular smoothhound?
Yeah, Young Specimen Angler of the Year, which is a good award to get, I suppose.
John Chew.